This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Udama. Connecticut's Department of Children and Families pushes to increase kinship care for children.
This is a part of a national effort that's being made in many states that acknowledges a growing body of research that says that kids who go with kin tend to have better outcomes in many areas.
That's Laura Tillman, the Connecticut Mirror's human services reporter. She's done a deep dive into why Connecticut's DCF's push for more kinship placements is critical for the agency and for families. More to come after this.
Whether you order a grinder or a Hero for lunch, spend summers on the Sound or on Jones Beach, and I'm not even going near the pizza debate, there's something for nutmeggers and Long Islanders alike on the WSHU podcast, After All Things. Get the news and culture from around the Long Island Sound in less than 15 minutes. Hosted by me, Sabrina Garone. Weeknights wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Laura. You wanted to know why kinship placements are critical in helping Connecticut's DCF accomplish its mission to children and families. What did you find? And let's start with your profile of Victoria Woody.
Yeah, so Victoria Woody was a mom of a nine-year-old, and she got a call while she was at work one Thursday in March of 2024 and found out that DCF was asking her to take in her five nieces and nephews, her sister's kids, and that they actually wanted to bring them to her home that very day.
All five of them at the same time.
Yeah, including a set of nine-month-old twins.
Wow.
So it's quite an ask for her. And it's the kind of situation that's typical of what's called a kinship placement, where DCF is trying to put more of the kids that it places with either family members or what are called fictive kin, which can be like a teacher from school or a neighbor that the kid knows very well, someone who's kind of a very close connection in their life. So basically, this is a part of a national effort that's being made in many states that acknowledges a growing body of research that says that kids who go with kin tend to have better outcomes in many areas. So I was interested in learning more about this. I had taken a class at Poynter, which is a journalism institute on child welfare reporting, and kinship care and the move toward kinship care was kind of a big emphasis of that class as well.
Now, but there's some pushback from people who have volunteered as foster parents. You talked to a few of them who seem to be a bit skeptical that kinship care is always the way to go.
I think there's always tensions. People have, you know, a lot of different experiences with the foster care and child welfare system. And so depending on what they've seen in their particular situations, I think that it can raise, you know, red flags. I don't want to sort of overemphasize the skepticism. I think that in general, the advocacy community and the research community and the child welfare community all acknowledge that sort of in general, kinship care has better outcomes. But of course, like when you're talking about a child, you're talking about a unique situation. And so for every kid, even if the preponderance of data says kinship is better, there's always the chance that in a specific situation, you know, could there be problems with the kin that they're placed with? Could there be? I think one of the trends that people remark upon is just the idea that, you know, kin are not always prepared to take in a kid, where like Victoria Woody, you know, she had a son and she had a good job and she had sort of a stable lifestyle to be able to take this on. But sometimes DCF is asking an aunt or an uncle at this emergency moment to take in kin, and they might not have all the puzzle pieces together to be able to support a kid who maybe is going through a really traumatic experience of removal from their parents. So it's tricky.
Let's talk a little bit more about Victoria, because even though she was pretty well off in being able to take the kids in, she still needed quite a bit of help from DCF to be able to make it work, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, imagine taking in kids, one of whom had type 1 diabetes. The toddler had trouble sleeping at night, and suddenly you're taking all these kids into your home. You don't have the right furniture. You don't have the right bedding. You don't have the right formula, all of these things that she needed. And DCF, as well as some family and friends, were able to help her with that.
Okay. Now, Connecticut had set a goal of 70% back in 2019, getting at least up to 70% placement in kinship care. How has that worked out?
You know, they're moving toward that goal. They've gone, I believe, 10% improvement since that time. So they were around, you know, nearly 40% when that goal was set. Now they're at nearly 50%. But there was no deadline set for that goal. And I think that the COVID pandemic also really complicated life and kind of any family's ability to take in a child at the last moment in this way. So they're working on it. I mean, one of the things that was kind of striking to me was when I went to advocates and others nationally to ask them about how Connecticut's doing. In general, they were pretty impressed that Connecticut's at almost 50%. It's not a insignificant figure to have gotten to. So they're still working on that 70% number, but that would be kind of like a aspirational number for them to get to. So they have faced some challenges getting there.
Now, neighboring Rhode Island has done much better. Could you just tell us why that is so?
Yeah, I mean, Rhode Island has 73%. I didn't dig too deep into the why, but I do think that anyone who lives in Connecticut probably has a sense that Rhode Island is a bit of a different animal than Connecticut. It's our neighbor, but at the same time, it's a much smaller state. It's a state with just sort of a different economic makeup. So there's just different dynamics likely happening there. And Connecticut also had a long way to go. So when Connecticut started out trying to improve its kinship numbers back in 2011, only 17% of kids were going with kin at that time. So it's been a real upward climb for Connecticut.
What was your takeaway looking into this? Where does Connecticut stand? What does it look like for families in Connecticut?
It was interesting for me because I've been on this beat for about a year and a half, and I knew that there was a lot of history with DCF and with, you know, the WANF case, that there had, you know, DCF had been under federal monitor up until 2022. So I think part of my takeaway was just like DCF is overcoming, you know, many decades of challenges, and they're trying to take this research and this kind of nationally accepted approach and apply it. But it's hard. I mean, families can't always say yes for a lot of reasons. And the resources are there. But at the same time, the resources for foster families who are kin and not kin alike are not great in terms of the compensation for the maintenance payments and things like that. So it's just challenging, I think, for anybody to take on what Victoria Woody took on. But I think DCF is really kind of pushing hard on this effort and prioritizing it because, you know, kids who stay with kin, we didn't really talk about the outcomes, but that's another thing, is like they tend not to have to switch schools. They tend to get to stay in the same home. They're not moved from family to family. They tend to, you know, have fewer absences in school, less discipline. They tend to have fewer mental health issues. They maintain connections to their culture when they're placed with family. So there are a lot of things that make kinship placements make a lot of sense. And I think DCF is really committed to that idea.
Yeah, thank you so much, Laura. Really appreciate this.
Thank you.
Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebon Udana, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor. WSHU's Alicia Daddario and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.